of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
Amen. It was that remarkable 17th century Christian, Blaise Pascal, who once said, "The eternal silence of these infinite spaces frightens me." The eternal silence of these infinite spaces frightens me. But into that eternal silence, God has spoken. The God we know and love and worship and trust is the God who speaks. In the beginning, he spoke and called all things out of nothingness into being. As the author of the letter to the Hebrews says, "In many and various ways, God spoke of old to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son." Our God is not a tongue-tied God. God speaks. God speaks and calls all things into being. God speaks his word, and God sends his only Son, who is his word, into this world to save us. I suspect that all of us are familiar with the miracle Jesus did the first time he was in the city of Cana in Galilee, the miracle at the wedding feast where he changed water into wine. In today's gospel, we hear about the miracle, in fact, two miracles Jesus performed the second time he came to Cana, a city which is about 20 miles southwest of the city of Capernaum, where lived an official who was in great distress because his son was at the point of death. This man had heard about Jesus, had heard about his teaching, had heard about his miracles, and now he hears that Jesus has come from Judea into Galilee to the city of Cana. Still, Cana was a bit of a distance from Capernaum, about 20 miles. But distance means nothing to this father of a dying boy. And so he travels that 20 miles to Cana, and there he asks Jesus to come down and heal his dying child. Jesus replies, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." A hard word of Jesus, and yet utterly true. So what then does the father of this dying boy do? Does he give up? Does he despair? No, he begs Jesus, saying, "Sir, come down before my son dies." In these words, we can hear plainly the pain and the misery of a father facing the death of his child. Then Jesus replies, "Go, your son will live. Go, your son will live." And St. John tells us that this man believed the word Jesus had spoken to him and went his way. He believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and this is the first miracle in this story told by St. John. The miracle of faith, because faith in the Lord Jesus is always a miracle, and it was this word of Jesus that enkindled faith in this father's heart. And as it was with him, so it is with us. For as you and I learn to say in the Catechism, I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, and the gospel is the word which points to Jesus, the word which shows us Jesus. So the first miracle in this story is the miracle of faith. The second miracle is the healing of this father's son. For as he draws near to his home in Capernaum, his servants meet him and tell him that his son is in fact recovering. And when the father asked them when his son began to get better, the servants tell him that it was the day before at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The father then realizes that this was in fact the very time that Jesus had said to him, "Go, your son will live." Many years ago, I heard a sermon on this text, which had this as its title: "The Man Who Went Home With Only a Word in His Pocket." The man who went home with only a word in his pocket. I've never forgotten that title. And I always think about it whenever I read or hear this story. Yes, this father had nothing to go on but the word of Jesus. But he obeyed that word. He trusted that word, the word of Jesus, who is himself the word of God, the word of the Heavenly Father to the whole creation. As St. John says at the very beginning of his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." Through our words, we express the thoughts of our minds and hearts. The reason St. John calls the Son of God the Word of God is because through his Son, God clearly expresses his thoughts toward us. And there we find the heart of the eternal Father, who loved us enough to send his only Son to go through the agonizing death of the cross so that you and I might be pardoned for all our doubts, for all our little faith, yes, for our anger with God, our resentments, all forgiven through the sacrifice of the cross and freely given to each one of us when we were baptized. Jesus' first word to the father of that dying child was, in fact, a hard word, a stern word. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. But it's a word that you and I also need to remember when, amid the storms of life, faith wavers. It is then that we must learn to disregard our own misgivings, our own uncertainties, and simply trust Christ's gracious word of promise, simply believing that his will is a good and gracious will, even when we can't see that, can't feel that, can't experience that. How we need to make our own the words of the hymn, "I cling to what my Savior taught and trust it whether felt or not. I cling to what my Savior taught and trust it whether felt or not." God can always do miracles. There can be no doubt about that. But he normally works in a much more hidden, puzzling, and mysterious way. We do not always see his guiding hand, his truly loving heart, which desires only good for us. And it's then like that man who went home with only a word in his pocket that we must cling to his clear word, his gracious clear word of mercy declared in baptism, renewed in holy absolution, and sealed with Christ's body and blood in the holy sacrament of the altar. And as far as our prayers for healing are concerned, we can confidently look forward to that day when in the resurrection all our prayers for healing, both in soul and body, will be answered wonderfully. And so to him who is the word of the Father now in flesh appearing, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father.